So we have about 15 minutes. We're actually more like 12 or 13 for questions from the board. And it's open for question. Michael.
Do I tie myself
up? If you can walk and chew gum at the same time, I'd advise it.
2 minutes.
Time is up.
How much time do I have?
Two minutes.
2 minutes, thank you. Okay. That's really great. I agree with almost everything, except I think we should address cultural materialism as a key focus.
So you said, yes.
I do want to ask this question because it turns out that I find out this weekend we don't even own our own cash cow. And if I need to be gonged here, then go ahead and tell me if I'm giving away something exclusive. But you know, we have a national bureau chief, and we have a program director. And it would be irresponsible for me as a board member to not say that it is wrong for us, you know, not to do something which will create a stronger Pacifica with regards to something that is in the bylaws, which is that we have to be self-sustaining. And so I'm wondering, you know, what is going on with the development? And I'm just doing this pretty much. I know you're leaving, but I want to do this as a means of advocating again the need to create stronger national programming and get it broadcasted, not just for the money, but for the good of social justice and the mission. But what if we have a full-time program director and we have a full-time bureau chief, and you know, why isn't something in the works? What are we doing with the listeners' money with regards to that?
Well, I mean, some of you heard this afternoon, we are in the process of doing things, but I think that the first stage, when Nathan was hired to speak to Nathan in January, he's been on the job for 6 months. And during that 6 months, I think that he's made considerable progress. First, he had to build trust and rapport with the people who have been working with the network for some time. And then in this last few months, he's been able to, I think, accelerate our production of collaborative national specials. But these are specials that are isolated specials. The next step is to institutionalize this on an ongoing basis. And in order to do that, you have to deal with the issue of buy-in, which goes back to the structure and the confederal nature and the tentative nature of the relationship between the local stations and the national organization, and whether there should be national production capacity, and whether even for Verna, for what she does in D.C., Verna is a one-person bureau. She doesn't have a budget. She produces headlines on her own. And there's no real structure or budget to support her. The amount of money that's available for national programming out of this $18 million annual budget for the entire organization for national specials is less than $100,000. Okay? We pay a lot for certain programs like Free Speech Radio News and Democracy Now! But we do not spend that much on national specials. We leverage that money that I mentioned with stations when they are willing to collaborate. But that's all on a voluntary basis. And what I've been arguing for is, in a sense, a little less voluntary. It's to say that there should be national programming on all stations for a certain amount of time, and that really that we should open up that space and then fill it with some local programming elevated to the national level and some new national programming, and also perhaps fewer isolated specials and more consistent programming that we own and produce. One other thing related to that is that people said this afternoon, and I think even this evening, well, Democracy Now! Is, you know, not Pacifica. Well, maybe that's true in the sense that it is an independent production company, but I do have to say that Amy Goodman does see herself as a part of the Pacifica community, and every morning when she gets on the air, she says, from Pacifica, this is Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!. And this is not a small thing. It's not a small thing to her. She sees herself as part of the larger community. We may have a sometimes tense relationship in terms of negotiations, but she pitches for us indefatigably, and she sees herself as part of this. But what we need now is more programming that we produce that reflects our editorial priorities, and that's what I've been arguing for.
I want to add on the answer to your question about the fundraising, because I think there was a component of what is being done to raise funds at the national level. The National Office budget is on the order of, is it 3 million?
No, it's a little less than that, actually.
I'll look it up, but the National Office has raised, or is on schedule, as from what I understand, this year, to raise $1 million through direct mail solicitations.
Yes.
An effort that's largely been spearheaded by Lonnie and Phil Asageda, I understand. So, for example, when one of the stations recently passed some motions about the impact of certain spending, it left out the fact that if you just take salaries and related and administrative expenses alone, that's essentially what the station's contributions are paying for, and almost everything else National is doing is being funded by the mail drop campaign, the direct mail campaign. So people should understand that the National Office is not just drawing funds from the stations. In fact, almost all the money it raises to do everything beyond just maintain its staff and their administration is generated by the office itself. Any other questions for Greg? Comments? Kudos, brickbats?
I'll ask Greg here. Greg, I appreciate all your work, and you've done a lot here for Pacifica, and we're appreciative of it. But you continuously use, and for whatever purpose you use it, you use these words like confederation and this and that. Confederation is just in the drop out of the sky. The founders of this network, they started out with concerned with the community kind of talents and how they can make a robust programming at the local levels. And their aim was to at least, at the most, they could do well if they had 2% of the listener audience. They said that was fine. To them, it was not that important that we want to spread out to the world. But it was more important to them that they harness the creative energies of the communities in which they are located. Now, these are two contradictory concepts. One is that we go globally and begin to concern ourselves with all the problems of the universe. And it's a righteous cause. No question about that. And we can do that if we had a different kind of mission. And maybe the mission needs to be revised. However, given the mission that we have at the present, it asks us, to which we are legally, morally, ethically bound, that we start the local programs and make our communities strong and make sure that if they are educated, then the universe will change itself. In its history, Pacifica has created programs long before we became national that became prominent in the world. So I think local is not simply to denigrate, say, but just because they're confederation and so on, those kind of words. How do you see your vision compared to the founder who said 2% of the listening audience, if you can get that, as long as our content is robust and it explores all the areas that are given in the mission of it? When you talked about the mission of the network, you talked only about one half of it. You overlooked the other half. You did not talk about the culture. You did not talk about local artists, musicians, writers, and harnessing their creative energy at the local level.
Time.
And I wonder, how do you want to reconcile those two things?
That was then and this is now. Pacifica was one station in Berkeley, California. This is a network, a national organization, a multi-million dollar organization with 125 affiliates, a very different entity than the entity that was created between 1946 and 1948. My comments are not meant to exclude any other interest, but I did speak of the fundamental purpose, which was the creation of dialogue. That is the fundamental purpose. And I don't know that we're meeting that one either, but I think we have a very different responsibility today to the responsibility that that the individual station formed in 1949 had. And we have to rise to that responsibility, and that responsibility is to be a national voice, not to exclude the necessity to also reflect community values in diverse communities. But I don't think those are irreconcilable. We need to do both.
Thank you.
Before I do that, I just want to correct numbers because I don't like misciting numbers. The total income of the national office annually is $4 million. It spends on salaries and related, Democracy Now, and administration as a total. Those three items, $2.5 million. The total central services contribution is $2.26 million, or about $300,000 less than the cost of just salaries, administration, and Democracy Now. That's what the stations contribute. The national office raises through mail drops this year about $1.1 million. Okay, so just to be on the record. Bob?
This report has expired. The time has expired. Huh? The time has expired for this report.
Oh. It's 7:40. May we extend by 10 minutes to get the people who have their hand up? All of a sudden, actually, we have eight. No, excuse me. We have something like seven board members with their hands up.
We were on time. We were doing so well.
Mine's quick.
Is there a motion to extend time on the item?
Ursula,
how much?
10 minutes.
No more.
We have seven board members who want to speak, and each of them wants to hear a response. Not going to happen. If all the board members who want to speak, 15 minutes, is there a second?
Second.
Is there any objection? Ursula, is that okay with you? What time does the bus leave to the archives, Sue? Do you know?
8:30.
Okay, so let's move fast. Bob.
I just want to speak to Greg's comments about the need for editorial priorities, and I think that's a valid point and something we do need to take more seriously. And the process for setting those priorities also has to be considered and needs to take into account the views and the visions of staffs and listeners at all five stations. And as one example of that, I would have a major difference with the four priorities that Greg outlined, which were ending the war on terror, dealing with the decline of democracy, health care for all, and the challenge to ecology. And that is the whole question of institutionalized racism in the United States, which has pervaded this country and underlined its very founding, and today continues to be responsible for the illness and death of hundreds of thousands of people of color for preventable reasons and the incarceration of millions of others. So I just think it's something that we have to keep uppermost. If you go back to the mission, obviously it's a central theme there, but also if you just look at the problems that are facing this society and the problems that the powers that be and the corporate media don't want to talk about, I think that becomes even more crucial for us to keep that front and center, and I don't think that's always been the case. It's not just a question of one statement by the executive director today, but it's a question of editorial priorities that are decided every day at every station. I think we can never forget that.
I don't disagree that at all with your assessment of the importance of racism in society. I do believe, however, that every one of those issues that I mentioned is a reflection of the racism in society. The war on terror, the discrimination in terms of democracy and the death penalty. You know, all of these phrases are just phrases, but each one of these things relates to other issues. And racism, as you have pointed out, is woven into the texture of this society at all different levels. So if you discuss any one of those issues, you will also be discussing racism.
Doc and then Wendy.
As one of those people of color, I would say that lack of health care is one of the top things on my list of concerns. I would also say that the war on terrorism, which generally kills off more people of color than anybody, is also a number one priority with my community. So I'm speaking on behalf of some of those people of color. I can't speak for all of them, nor can you. And so one of the other things that I want to talk about is the fact that when we talk about, you know, the mission statement, it was put together a long time ago. So was the Constitution. Constitution wasn't put together for people of color or women. It was put together for men who had property. Didn't include any of us. So if we want to base it on, you know, the here and the now, we might want to rethink the Constitution. When we're talking about the mission statement, it has to come into the now, just like everything else, in order to be relevant. And I don't believe that the people that wrote it, when they were putting it together, thought that it would just be some stagnant piece of paper with words on it that would not grow along with Pacifica. If I thought that, I wouldn't waste my time sitting on this board. People of color, women, minorities, whoever, have the same issues that the majority culture has as it relates to economics, full employment, being able to go to the doctor, all of those things. Racism is a part of all of that. You cannot deal with institutionalized racism without talking about each and every one of those pieces. And each and every time I hear someone who is not a person of color start to talk about what people of color are concerned about, it is like a pin in my behind. And I'm really sorry. And I'm not saying that you can't. But sometimes it comes across like that's the only voice that is relevant in determining what people of color are concerned about. As an African American in this country, no one is more aware of institutionalized racism than I am. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I was a part of institutionalized racism. Yet today, and we talk about it like it's some, you know, smoke and mirrors kind of thing. It's a thing that kills off my people every day. And it doesn't just kill them in prison. It kills them on the street every day. Our kids are dying because of institutionalized racism. And it all has to do with the very things that Greg is talking about. A great deal of it is anchored in just that. And if we just sit here and try to bring it all down to whether we're going to deal with racism, all of that is a part of institutionalized racism. The lack of a decent educational system, the list is endless. We have to pick the pieces we can do something about. We cannot heal all the ills of the world, not within Pacifica. And we have to do more than empower just those little pockets where we have a station. We have to empower greater numbers because greater numbers of people are dying every day. I'm sorry. I know my time is up. But each and every time we sit in here, we talk about the same stuff over and over again. And I really want us to have an action plan that we leave here and we do something. Because as our children are dying, we sit in here and we talk about what we ought to do.
That's time.
Thank you.
Now on the other side of the table, there's
now
Wendy.
Called on me.
Oh, Wendy. Okay.
This is like some kind of block or something.
So mine really is really quick. Greg, I just want to thank you again for another excellent report. A lot of us have been studying this organization for a long time, and I have never seen the level of information that you've put in your reports. I think, I mean, not just, you've been really straight with the board, and I think you've been really straight with the public, too. I think most of these reports, these quarterly reports, are on the website, right? There's more information in these reports than we saw for years and years all put together in Pacifica. So I really want to thank you for that. You haven't been here that long, but it's been really helpful to have some fresh eyes come in and examine this whole thing, because we get caught up in it. And so I think even just in the short time you've been here, you have made a significant dent in the problems you've identified or getting us on the road to getting them fixed. No one person can do it, but I think that you've actually helped us a lot by giving us the tools to fix it. And I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Ray? We have Ray and Bertolt, and then that's going to be time unless you want to extend again.
Well, I too have to thank Greg for, you know, functioning at a very high level. This is very clear. As you said, producing reports that are truly amazing in their breadth and understanding of the issues. I think some of the differences we're talking about, though, have to do, and I feel compelled to address them, because I've heard somebody refer to a different view of programming as being resisting national programming. Earlier, I had a discussion with a board member about election that I supposedly resisted. And what I resisted was the principle of having an election when nobody was ready to discuss issues about, you know, what we were voting about, rather than just having some people who had a list of names and emails and addresses and we're going to win an election. So clearly, not in the Constitution is it human, was made by human beings, so is this document. Actually, as a member of the IPNB, I introduced some suggest motion to change what I explained as expanding these bylaws and these motion laws, and included bring this to new, this, because these bylaws don't talk about issues of being differently able. This is talk about issues of gay people and so on. And even the simple language was denied. So to me, this is the challenge. The challenge is to have an effective structure where we can have national programming. But for example, today we were and the question came as to whether we should consult people as we do a show, national, local. To me, that should be a basic cornerstone of how we function. It shouldn't be that somebody has to say, did you do it or not? It should be something that we do automatically. And if you don't do it, you are missing the point. And similarly, the strength of Pacifica is not only, this is an institution that allows the staff to vote. We have staff people sitting here. It's a different institution. So in light of this progressive challenge, the notion is how do we create national programming and at the same time respect local notions that can only be addressed properly by people who are living them. For example, we have a committee of inclusion, and the goal of those committees are to identify people who are excluded from the process. And this process, and this is why these committees are local committees of the national board, because you cannot do this process in a remote fashion. So the challenge is to do both, as you said in a way, but not see resistance to giving broad a mandate to have national shows as a denial of a willingness to move forward in that direction.
Thank you.
Bertolt?
Good segue into what I'm going to say. My brother Ray, I disagree with you. There are resistance at the local level. And, you know, let's be blunt. Programmers think that they own the air and then they should be there forever. Yeah. And so with that in mind, I wanted to address the content of programming, which has always been my issue from the very beginning. Instead of discussion of ideas, you have people preaching to the choir and then you do not have debate. And we lost that a long time ago. So in that context, how does this resistance from local affects that, and how would national programming enhance that without having any money, for example, to support local programmers that could do a better job if they had better resources? Because as you know, it takes money and time to do good programming, whether local or national.
Well, I'm not going to really be able to answer that question in the way that it should. But let me say that it's not just a question of money; it's a question of a change of attitude, because you have to change the attitude that everything that is said on the air must be agreed to by everyone who has control over that air. We have to be willing to take risks to allow people on the air who with whom we disagree. And also even to allow people who are hosts of programs to be more controversial. We have to take risks. If we want to enlarge the listenership, we have to be able to allow people the ability to say things that, you know, we may not like, because then they will be disagreed with and we will have a much more dynamic dialogue. I don't think you can buy that. I don't think it's a question of money. I think it's a question of a willingness to be open, really open to dialogue, rather than only open to the dialogue with which you agree.
And we do have a couple minutes left. If the people who wanted to ask, I'm sorry? I was going to call on the people who wanted to finish up with Greg, but Lavarne, and I'm seeing Lavarne's hand and Lisa's, both of whom had their hand up to deal with this stuff with Greg. Do you want to talk to about the affiliates, or was this back to the Greg issues?
Well, although I do think Ursula has done a great job in spoken private, but I wanted to say that publicly. I think what you're doing is...
This is not what I raised my hand about, but I did just want to say that, Ursula, I think you're doing a tremendous job, and we've had conversations in private that I wanted to acknowledge publicly, but that's not why I raised my hand.
Okay, so you had, Lavarne, was your issue on the affiliates, or did you want to finish up on that ED issue? Okay,
yeah,
so is it okay with the board that the remaining members who had their hand up to follow up on the ED report ask their questions, and then we'll break for the evening? Just to give you a time check, it's 8:20 now. The bus to the station will be outside at 8:30. So let's not take more than about 5 minutes, and then people will be able to get down there. Lavarne and then Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to say that the issues that Greg has outlined here, that they're all encompassing, and in certainly support of Doc's statement. I'm an African. I'm of African descent, and I live in America. And I've said before, I was raised under military occupation down south, and I went to school under military occupation up south in Philadelphia. So I know who I am. Like I said, I'm a woman of African descent, and I live in America. So, it also bothers me when when you're identifying these issues, and we know they affect the black community and African community and other communities of color, because that's what America, KKK, has showed to us, so that, you know, it becomes like we are on display. We're like rats in a cage. And while everybody's looking at this, they don't realize that they're in the bigger cage, and that, you know, and that all of us are in this colony. We're a colonized group, and we have this group on top who use race and other issues to take your attention away from the fact that you're as colonized as the communities of color. And these issues that Greg has talked about are issues that impact all of us, and this shows that we need to really work as a group in order to stop the transfer of resources from the people to the people who are controlling our country. So again, these issues are very important. We have to all grasp these and understanding who you are and where you're from, but still attack these things and make these work for all of us. And that, I think Greg has articulated this, and that, you know, and he's done a good job since he's been in his role to communicate to not only the board, but to all of them. And you know, all of us, we might have differences on certain issues that Greg talked about, but still, it's important that in order to produce good radio, to do these things like Ursula has just shown us, that we have to understand that, you know, we have to really tackle this as a group.
Thank you. Lisa.
Thank you. As an African-American woman, a Pan-Africanist, a black nationalist, that's how I identify myself. And I do accept Greg's explanation that he did mean this to be encompassing of racism. I do accept that. However, I just want to say that you can never talk about racism enough. I cannot whitewash it or start to sell it in any way. This country was founded upon it, built upon it. Every bit of success, every bit of money that this country has is from the blood of people who were killed, murdered. It continues today. Genocide, racism, enslavement,
And this war is just a continuous part of all of that. So I know there are other isms, but you cannot talk about it enough. It needs to be front and centered all the time because it is still going on. And I am glad that I have somebody and a comrade in someone like Bob Lederer, who is white and who says we need to talk about it. And that dialogue needs to happen much more frequently among people who are of European descent. I work with the reparations movement. I go throughout this country working, and I know that I represent a lot of people. So you can't talk about it enough. I'm glad that you did say it, and I'm glad to see that this dialogue needs to happen much more among white comrades who will also be brave enough and say, we need to talk about it and make it front and center. So thank you.
I'd like to make a comment myself. It's something that Claire Spark, a former program director at KPFK, a point she made to me about the mission, which was the idea that, you know, somebody mentioned, I think, the idea, I think you mentioned the idea of, you know, coming to a more peaceful world as a result of debate. Her point was that in her reading of what some of the founders were saying was that actually you might not come to a peaceful resolution, but what was necessary to do and what was missing from the rest of media was a clarification of the differences in position. And when I look at this board, I know we have differences in position, and we just do, and we see things differently, and we're here as a board to cooperate at some level across those lines of differences on behalf of the mission and behalf of the network. And so I hope we welcome those differences in political division and to the extent possible can appeal to each other to have respect for our differing positions and not need to overcome each other's differing political positions so that we can get our work done. So thank you very much. I think...